It's such a joy for my wife and myself to be here worshiping you this morning, and especially thank you for inviting me to really share on this pulpit. Your music was wonderful, worship was wonderful, and we are so grateful. The Lambertville Church has been the member and family member for us since 1976, when we began this ministry on Princeton campus with international students. And last year we moved into the next phase in reaching out to international alumni who are scattered all over the world. So there are 150 alumni in 40 different countries, and we reach them out through Zoom, through WhatsApp, through telephone, through email, you name it. And only last week, we received messages and informations and communications from people, alumni from Brazil, Canada, China, Egypt, Germany, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Nigeria, Romania, South Africa, Sweden, Tanzania, USA, and Vietnam. About 17 countries just last week. And a friend writes that he is working with high school students, 25 high schools, Bible class he's leading, and that's in Nigeria. He says, just pray that the influence of our ministry will grow more and make more impact in the lives of young people. We have received a news from India from a friend who lost their 16-year-old son in an accident. And that son was born in Princeton while the father was a student. And so many good things and so many sad things we can see. But two things I can share with you is that we have, every week, we have two Zoom Bible fellowship for women and for joint group, Wednesday and Friday. And there were about 30 people who come there, and total about 45 have participated. We have 7 graduate students who are doing PhD in Princeton University in 1978. And now they are reconnected because we know each one of them. They are reconnected with each other, from people from Nigeria. They had chemistry, both were chemistry students. Peter from Canada, Ji Peng from Singapore, Bong Soo Kim from South Korea, Melody from America, Willem from Netherlands, Lydia from Greece. And they are now connected with each other. We have 3 Vietnamese girls. They all have come to know Christ. They are the first Christian in their family. Two have PhDs, and one is pursuing PhDs. They all are believers. We have reconnected them with each other. So there are joy. We are thriving in this new ministry. We are enjoying this through this new ministry, and we are grateful that you are still partners with us. I can just say that one or two things more about the ministry is that this ministry keeps on growing in such a way that we have family reunion every time when we talk with people, because they know they were with us in Princeton long time ago, and they know we were in their home. We had traveled to 25 different countries over the years, and real missionary countries. We got journeys, that's 3 missionary journeys. And we have visited these people. So the Lord is blessing this ministry of reaching alumni. And so I just want to say thank you on behalf of my wife and for all the friends we are ministering around the world. Now let's read the word of God for this morning. And it is taken from Psalm 116 and verses 12 to 19. Psalm 116 verses 12 to 19. David asked, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. This morning, as I was thinking and meditating what the Lord has in mind for all of us, including me, that what passage I should share with you and what message I can bring to you. And the more I thought about it, more I meditated about it, I just came to the point that we need a grateful heart. As a believers in Christ Jesus, we need to have a grateful heart. You know, we have so many memories of good things God has done for us, and sometimes so many even painful memories. If we think about September 11, and it's a painful memory. But when you think about your 50th anniversary, 25th anniversary, or 16th birthday, that's a joyful celebration. In 1972, and my wife and myself were invited as missionaries in Northeast India called Nagaland. And we helped Aonaga Baptist churches to start their first evangelical theological college called Clerk Theological College. And it is named after first missionary couple, Dr. and Mrs. Clerk, who brought the gospel to headhunters in 1872. This last year was the 50th anniversary. We were the founding principal and professors with just 9 students. And now they have 300 residential students. It is one of the largest evangelical seminary in India, and it has produced 2,000 graduates serving as pastors, evangelists, theologians, government servants, and much more. So as this morning I think about how grateful we can be for God's faithfulness in our life, I remember this song when we were singing earlier, and a lady, retired professor from South Africa, sent me that when she attended ISI Christmas banquet in 1980, she said that you sang and your group sang this chorus, God is so good, God is so good, God is so good to me. Yesu Janhao, Yesu Janhao, Tadewa Janhao, that's a Chinese. Korean say Sarang Echu, Sarang Echu Nai Yesu Nim. And Japanese say Suwa Subalashi Watashi Noshu. And Swahili say Mungu Yuema, Mungu Yuema, Mungu Yuema, Yuema Mungu. And last is Hindi, Yesu Acha Hai, Yesu Acha Hai, Yesu Acha Hai, Mere Liye. All the multi-language group, but one thing was that God is good. And that's what David says, God is good. King David expresses in Psalm 116 how much he has been blessed by God's love, God's goodness, and his faithfulness. This psalm is one of the 6 psalms included in Hallel, Hymn of Praise. These 6 psalms, 113 to 118, were sung by Hebrews during Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. It is very probable that these psalms were sung by our Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. So this is a very important psalm. King David asked a question to himself, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I believe that he was overwhelmed with the favor of the Lord. And then he answers himself. And that's interesting, because have you faced a situation when you ask a question to your spouse, to your child, to your friend, and before they answer you said, never mind, I got the answer. That's what David says. Question like, you may have asked question like, have you seen my car? Or have you seen my wallet? And before somebody says, yeah, I noticed, you say, oh, never mind, I remember where it is. I would share with you 4 lessons from this passage in Psalm 116. A grateful heart is comprises of a joyful heart. King David says, I will lift up the cup of salvation. He thinks about his salvation, how God has really saved him. Salvation means protection, provision, presence, rescue, health, forgiveness, and much more. You remember those old songs, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go, neath the crimson flow. Hallelujah. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Or you remember, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy over my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. When we invite Jesus Christ in our hearts, there is a joy. We have seen and experienced internationals, when they came to know Jesus Christ, they were so overjoyed, overwhelmed and overjoyed with the goodness of God. N. Graham Lutz writes, my father, that's N. Graham, is Billy Graham's daughter, my father was seated at a welcoming dinner in his honor, attended by the civic, business, religious and political leaders of the Eastern nation that had invited him to hold open evangelistic meetings. The man next to him was the archbishop of the dominant denomination in that country. During the course of the dinner conversation, he asked the archbishop, so the Billy Graham, when he had become a Christian. The man's eyes glistened with emotion as he put down his fork and proceeded to tell his story. He had already been installed as the archbishop in his country when he was invited to Chicago to give a lecture in a prominent theological school. He accepted the invitation and found himself in the heart of the Windy City. One afternoon, in his effort to do some sightseeing, he boarded a city bus. No sooner had he taken his seat when a big black figure tapped on the shoulder. He turned to look into the full, round, ebony face of an obviously poor woman seated behind him. In a wonderfully rich voice, she asked, "Mister, has you been born again?" He frowned, thinking for sure he had misunderstood her question, since English was his second language. With polite reserve, he asked, "Excuse me?" The deep rolling voice repeated, "I says, has you been born again?" The archbishop stiffened his back, straightened his shoulders, and replied with the greatest dignity, "My dear madam, I am the archbishop of the church in my country. I am here to give a lecture at the theological seminary." As the bus rolled to a stop, the woman rose to get off. She looked at the proud religious man dressed in his flowing robes, bearing the visual insignia of his office, and persisted bluntly, "Mister, that ain't what I ask you. I ask you, has you been born again?" Then she turned and walked off the bus and out of his life. But the archbishop said that her words sang in his ears and burned in his soul. He went back to his hotel room, located a Gideon Bible in a dresser drawer, opened it to the Gospel of John, and read the familiar story of Nicodemus. With increasing clarity and conviction, he knew that even with all of his religious training and devotion and service and recognition, he had never been born again. So he slipped down on his knees, and that night, in a Chicago hotel room, thousands of miles from his home, God answered his heart's cry and just gave him Jesus. What a wonderful story. Have you really given your heart to Jesus? And if not, today is the best day of salvation. So a grateful heart is really a heart full of thanksgiving because God has saved us. A grateful heart also is a respectful heart. King David, who ruled over the entire nation and who had so many servants, he wrote, "O Lord, truly I am your servant." David knew that the Lord gave him this position. He was respectful to the Lord. He was the man after God's own heart. We should never forget that we are servants of the Almighty. About Moses, it says, "But this is not true of my servant Moses." God says, "He is faithful in all my house." Moses was a faithful as a servant of God. John the Baptist replied when talk about Jesus, and he says, "I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. I baptize you with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy." You know, when we are in the presence of Jesus and God Almighty, we need to know that we are unworthy servant, but he has chosen us. The story of the centurion. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am myself am a man under authority. With soldier under me, I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." So that's knowing that this centurion was unworthy, but that Jesus was so gracious to him. Prodigal son came to his father and said, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." When we are in the presence of God, we know that how unworthy we are, but how God has really redeemed us. About John Newton, in a small cemetery of a parish churchyard in Olney, England, stands a granite tombstone with the following inscription: "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy." Queen Elizabeth, now she is with the Lord, but she has published a book and say, "The Servant King and the King She Serves." She always was mindful of that she is serving the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. We need to be respectful as the believers. A grateful heart also is a thankful heart. King David says, "I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." When Jesus healed 10 lepers with leprosy, what happened? Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The foreigners, when you are touching the lives of foreigners, they never forget. Just yesterday I was reading about one of our alumni, and he was from Tanzania. Now he is with the Lord, but he was appointed as the High Commissioner of South Africa somewhere in 2003. And I had communicated him during that time, and he said, John and Aruna, if you are ever in South Africa, you will be my guest. We never made to visit him in South Africa. And then, in a couple of years, the robbers came and really, hurt him and his wife and his family. And he was paralyzed. A few years ago, he died. But he was a high commissioner of Tanzania in South Africa. He never forgot what ISI has done for them. Just this week I received a phone call and talked to a professor in Tanzania, and he is professor of linguistics. He was in 2007 to 2009 on Princeton University. But while he was here with his two young children and wife, we really connected them with Kingston Presbyterian Church. So one of the members gave him a ride all the time and his family. So now this man, professor, writes, John, I am so grateful to you and to ISI, and especially to Kingston Presbyterian Church, welcoming us, making us like a family. They never forget, after all these years, being their friends. A grateful heart also is a watchful heart. King David repeats twice, I will fulfill my... I have a problem in English because it's my fourth language. Should I say vows or vows? Vows, okay. So, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Psalm 116 verses 14 and 18. Twice he repeats. David is not specific how many vows he had given to the Lord, but it is more than few. To take a vow and fulfill it is costly. Some of you took your vows on your wedding day. In this present day, it's so difficult. Some of you give your vows in your Sunday school or in your summer Christian camp that I have given my heart to the Lord and I will follow him all the time. Have you fulfilled that? Some of you have really made vows that you will really serve full time, and you have forgotten. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, gave a vow to Almighty, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And then she comes to the temple and she said to the Eli, I prayed for this child and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Have you given any promise to the Lord? To give promise to fulfill is difficult. It was in 1963, I was a junior in a university. I gave my life to Jesus in a missionary conference held by InterVarsity. And I promised to the Lord that I will serve wherever you lead me, except United States. And that exception is now became the reality. And we are here for 47 years serving the Lord. You remember the chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And many times there were times I just want to walk away from the ministry. But this song is there just reminding me that the Lord has been good to us. It was in 1974. I came to Princeton Seminary, 75 summer. I work as volunteer with ISI, international students. Then my wife and two daughters were still in India. I asked the advice of three godly men. Professor Bruce Mutzker, you heard that name. He was the top man with a New Testament scholar in Princeton Seminary. And he was my advisor. Pastor Bob Beringer, who was pastor of Hopewell Presbyterian Church. Pastor Ed Morgan, who was pastor of Westerly Road Church. They all prayed. And they say that, you know, the Lord is calling you to serve International Students Ministry. And that's where we are after all these years. Would you remember the promise you have given to the Lord? Maybe today you have to check your heart. I encourage you to rededicate your life to the Lord and resume your spiritual journey. You will have many challenges, but there will be joyful, also unlimited joy. Conclusion on this beautiful Sunday, let us come as well as leave this place with a grateful heart for what the Lord has done in us, for us, and through us. With His abundant blessing, let us ask the Lord to give us a joyful heart, a respectful heart, thankful heart, and watchful heart. May the Lord bless you.